do I treat prayer and mass as a way to appease God or get his attention? And I think that my many prayers, if I just repeat them and do these holy things over and over again, suddenly I will get what I want. No, brothers and sisters, it is about no longer having concern for what we want and only desiring what the Lord wants. I was thinking about my childhood the other day and how grateful I am that I had a very happy childhood. I have really fond memories. In fact, one of my dad, he used to put me in old tires and roll me down hills. Those were good years. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 207. So glad that you could join us. If it's your first time listening, we start every episode with a dad joke. I hope you enjoyed that. And you should also rate and review this podcast because other people might like it as well. And if it's your first time listening, other people might want to listen to it for the first time as well. That seemed like a very complicated way of saying that. But if you've been with us for a while, you can also rate and review this podcast. But either way, the highest compliment you can pay me in this podcast is to share it with your family and friends. So if you do that on social media, please make sure you tag us on Instagram at Manna Food for Thought. That's M-A-N-N-A, Food for Thought, all spelled out. And you can find all the ways to get in touch with us on our website, mannafoodforthought.com or mannaFFT.com. That's M-A-N-N-A-F-F-T. And while you're there, click on the subscribe button. You'll get our weekly psalm reflection sent right to your inbox every Wednesday. And you can click on the give button if you feel so inclined to financially contribute to this podcast to keep it on the air and to cover the fees that it takes to host the website and the podcast on all the different outlets that it is posted on. So thank you to all of you who support and all of you who listen. Thank you for joining me. And let's get into our episode by starting with our joy, junk, and Jesus. So I'd love for you, you know, pause and share with the people around you or just let me know what has brought you joy. What is kind of the junk going on in your life so I can pray for you? How have you encountered Jesus lately? For me, I'm going to start with junk, actually. There have been a lot of heavy ministry things for me and some of the other people on staff over the past week or two. So just keep us in prayer. But I know that it is all spiritual warfare coming at us because we are in the midst of the holiest week of the year and approaching the joy of the Easter season. And so that tends to always happen, especially in our catechumens and candidates who are entering the church. And so please pray for them. And so that being said, you know, another piece of junk, unfortunately, is that like this very holy week for us as a church is also very stressful for those of us that work for the church and work in ministry. So, you know, I wouldn't say that it's terrible. I mean, it's just, there's a lot to do, you know, and I chose, not a great time. I mean, I started last week, but, I chose not a great time to, but it needed to happen. My body, my inflammation, my Hashimoto's disease was really just, it was just dragging me down. And I needed to kind of do some things dietarily that I've been putting off for a while to really reduce that effect. So I've cut out all gluten, soy, dairy, and sugar. And so, yeah, that's been difficult. My body did not like it at all for about a week. And now the joy is that I'm feeling so much better. Oh my gosh. I feel like I have more energy, I'm more positive, I'm less irritable, I'm more focused, and yeah, I just can already tell the difference in my body. So, yeah, pray that I continue to do that. And then joy also is, yes, even though it's a busy week, it is Holy Week, and Easter's almost here, and all these people I've been teaching and journeying with are going to soon enter the church, you know, 35 people coming into the church, and another probably 7 or 8 throughout the course of the Easter season and Pentecost. So it's really incredible. So yeah, pray for all of us. My Jesus moment, just even in all of that, Jesus has been in all of that for sure. But a specific Jesus moment, yesterday, Palm Sunday, as I'm recording this, my daughter made all of these custom Palm Sunday placemats for our family dinner for my wife and I, my parents and her parents. And it was just so awesome to see her, you know, have the idea and take the initiative to use her gifts to kind of bless us and glorify God in this like small way. And I just was so proud of her that she does stuff like that totally unprompted and is just totally willing to use her gifts to bless others. And so, yeah, it's just really beautiful. So let's get into our episode for this week. As always, we are looking at the second reading for the upcoming Sunday liturgy. This Sunday is Happy Easter. It's this Sunday is Easter. Happy Easter for this upcoming Sunday. That was a weird, I don't know what my brain just did. It is Easter Sunday, the resurrection of the Lord. And the second reading is, you have options. So we're going to go with the first option, which is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. There's also an option for 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And it's kind of talking about the little yeast that leavens all of the dough. And just kind of like the little difference that you can make when you kind of live out your faith in the midst of the world. You can leaven all the dough around you. And if you clear out the old yeast, you get rid of all those things that are preventing you from doing that. It's a beautiful way that we can enter into the Paschal mystery. And Jesus, who seems very humble to those around him, I mean, he is very humble, but who seems like he's just, you know, a humble carpenter, has no, you know, glorious ability or anything to rescue himself, suddenly, you know, rises from the dead 3 days later and changes the face of the world. So that's kind of in the alternate reading if you hear that. But we're going to read the main second reading, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul is writing this to the church in Colossae, which is in modern-day Greece. Shorter letter, I believe also one of the letters he wrote, or believed to have written in prison. But again, one of these letters trying to emphasize their unity and the need to be conformed to the same message, to not fall into false teaching or false practice, to use their gifts for one another, a lot of the same common issues that arise. So, this is Colossians 3, first four verses. He says, "Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what Paul is speaking of here is this reality that exists elsewhere. I mean, he may not be directly addressing this particular issue, but this is a common theme in a lot of his letters, particularly in Romans, that you don't need the old law. Like, the old law is important. The old law is not what saves you. Like, thinking about what is above, directing your heart, your appetites, your desires, your will, your wants to things that are divine, things that are heavenly, things that are not earthly or material, are going to build the habits within you that you need to live in this new way of Jesus, to be his disciple. And the phrase that stands out to me is, I love this phrase in the last verse, "When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear in glory." And it just, I think it just begs the question, is Christ your life? Or is he just one part of your life? Yeah, I think it was Archbishop Fulton Sheen who said, "The Mass is not 1 hour out of your week, it is your entire week in 1 hour." Everything that we are culminates in our worship of God. Is Christ your life? Is he everything? Because this week, especially, brothers and sisters, of Holy Week, is a reminder that he gave you everything to give you your life. He offered everything that he is on the cross for you. Because of you, it was our sins that put him on the cross. And he did it for you to give you the life that you have. So have you given that life back to him? Is he your life? Or are you only giving him a sliver, a piece? Is he all of you? Is he in every single aspect of your life? I love this phrase right before it. "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." It's hidden. Hidden doesn't mean location, like it's hidden somewhere off to the side, but it's about an orientation that the world is no longer our primary concern. That doesn't dominate our attention. But Christ is our focus and our priority. And there is a divine glory that is present within us, but it is hidden. It is invisible. It's not something that is ostentatiously proclaimed to everyone around us for our glory or for our attention, but it is something that we cherish and that dwells in us in this very hidden, intangible way to call our attention to things that are above so that Christ would be our entire life. It's kind of the same language of John 15 and a lot of the language Jesus uses in those Last Supper discourses in the Gospel of John, where he says in John 15:4, "Remain in me as I remain in you." Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. And that word, I believe it's menos in Greek, means to abide. Sometimes you'll hear that, abide in me as I abide in you. Like literally make your dwelling here within me. Let your entire life, the place you live, where you call home, where you plant roots, who you are, where you feel safe and secure, be completely surrounded, completely encompassed by me. And there's this other phrase that's used here, like, how do we do this? How do we get to this place where we recognize this hidden nature of Christ in us and we allow him to be our entire life, is where this phrase, think of what is above, not what is on what is on earth. That word think of, for think of in Greek is phroneo. And it's only used once, I believe, here in Colossians, but it's used about 10 times in Philippians. And every time it's used in Philippians, it's about this word phroneo is kind of about like the habits of the heart, that you're not just thinking about these things, but you are intentionally building up a habit of calling them to mind. So you'll recognize this familiar verse from Philippians where this phrase is often repeated. It's from Philippians 4, verse 8. Paul says, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, phroneo. Think about these things. Let these things form the habits of your heart so that you are habitually pursuing those things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise. Those are the things that we are called to do. Those are the ways we tap into that hidden life of Christ within us, so that Christ becomes our entire life, not worn externally to be seen, but embraced internally so as to seep into everything that we are and to build us into people of virtue. Like, what are the things that you do in your faith that no one else can see? I'm talking about things like self-denial and fasting, things like holding back vice or not exercising our temper, resisting temptation and sin, having detachment and trust in the Lord. Like, these are things that are not as tangible or visible for people. Now, if they pay attention to the way that we live our life, they might notice that we do something different. And they have tangible and real implications that others might notice. But the habits themselves, they're not the typical ones that we often expect or gravitate toward if we want to grow in our faith, right? Like, we do things like, okay, I want to get closer to the Lord, so I'm going to go to daily mass, I'm going to pray the rosary, I'm going to go to adoration, I'm going to go to confession, I'm going to be in the Bible, I'm going to do spiritual reading. Very tangible, physical things. None of those things are bad. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things or prioritize them. But you can do all of those things and not be any closer to surrendering or trusting in the Lord. Because surrendering and trusting in the Lord is not about external habits, it's about an internal disposition of the heart. And all of those external things, mass, the rosary, adoration, confession, scripture, reading, you can do those things for the wrong reasons. You can do those things because they make you feel good, and that's it. Or you can do those out of a habit as a coping mechanism for the things that you're afraid of or the things that you're running away from. You can do it out of a sense of spiritual achievement or superiority, like, oh, look how holy I am. You can do it as an alternative to sin and vice. I'm just substituting my sins and my vices for some other habit. Or you can do it out of scrupulosity, that you're so worried about sin, you want to occupy your time with something else. And again, those aren't bad reasons, but what they don't connect to is the inner work of the heart. The inner work of the heart is what really needs to be done to conform ourselves more toward the Lord's will and the Lord's plan for our lives. Because otherwise, they're just another thing on the external resume of our lives. Like, look at these spiritual things that I do. They're great things. But you are not going to change or heal or become a disciple simply because you go through the motions of what other disciples might be doing. Disciples do those things because they have an inner disposition of the heart to surrender and detach from earthly attachments and seek to worship the Lord and encounter him in those different ways. But you can't just plug and play, brothers and sisters. You can't just stop doing the things that you used to be doing and start doing the new things of the spiritual life without really engaging in any of the inner work of the heart and asking yourself, like, what do I really need to detach from? How do I need to work on the habits of the heart, my desires, my inclinations, the ways in which I'm broken, the ways in which I have woundedness that needs to be healed, the reasons why I've run to sin in the past? Because we run to sin out of our brokenness and woundedness essentially as a coping mechanism. We can do the same thing with the spiritual life. We can run to spiritual matters as a coping mechanism because, okay, this looks good on paper and I'm making better friends and I'm not doing bad things, so my life will suddenly get better. And we kind of do it in a panicked way until suddenly we feel like things are going well, and then all of a sudden they're not, and we blame God or we say, oh, my life's not any better. Well, we've not done any of the inner work of surrender and detachment. We've not done the inner work of healing, brothers and sisters. And Easter is all about transformation. It's all about transformation. And yes, it's a very physical, visible reality of Jesus's resurrection. But for each one of us, we all have these moments, internal moments of suffering that we cannot deny or we cannot run away from, because no resurrection comes without crucifixion. But instead of dealing with the suffering and offering it up, we run away from it. We bury it. We ignore it, and we do spiritual things thinking that it will go away or it will suddenly transform on its own. No, the only way that crucifixion leads to resurrection is death. And if we are not willing to die to ourselves, to die to our attachments, to die to our impulses and desires, and recognize the inner work that needs to be done, the things in us that need to be made whole or transformed or healed, then Jesus is just going to be something we do as one part or one aspect of our life to try and make it feel better, as like, you know, a little bit of medicine that we take until things get better, and then we kind of get complacent. Is Christ one piece of your life, or is he your entire life? When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. When Christ is your entire life, your life will be completely glorifying the Lord in all that you do. But there is so much inner work to be done, brothers and sisters. And so think of those things. Think of your life. Think of what your life encompasses. Think of your habits. How are you connecting with the hidden Christ within you? How are you allowing that to seep into everything that you are, everything that you do, every aspect of your life, abiding in Christ as he desires to abide in you? And thinking of those things, like from Philippians, that are true. Having those practices, those virtuous habits, inclining your desires toward what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is gracious, what is excellent, what is worthy of praise. Think of those things. And when we do, Christ, our life, will appear, and we will appear with him in glory. One day when we die, yes, for sure, appearing with him in glory in heaven. But so too in this life, when we die to ourselves, we can glorify him and live as Easter people, so that more people will know the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins and he rose from the dead so that they could have eternal life. And so I pray, brothers and sisters, that we could take some time this Holy Week and this Easter season to look at all of the things that we do in our spiritual life and really ask ourselves about the motivation, really ask ourselves about our desires and impulses. Have I really done the inner work of healing? Have I really truly surrendered to the Lord? Or do I treat prayer and mass as a way to appease God or get his attention? And I think that my many prayers, if I just repeat them and do these holy things over and over again, suddenly I will get what I want. No, brothers and sisters, it is about no longer having concern for what we want and only desiring what the Lord wants. And that takes a lot of letting go, a lot of trust, a lot of surrender, a lot of inner work, a lot of thinking of these habits of the heart that will allow the hidden life of Christ within us to seep into everything that we are, to where he is our entire life, and our entire life is for him. That's all I have for you this week, my brothers and sisters. God bless you, and until next time, I will see you in the Eucharist, and have a happy Easter.